Hey, I'm Tamara Kendacker, and I'm the host of Wait, There's More, Global's 20-minute daily news podcast. This week, we're dedicating all our episodes to the coronavirus pandemic. We're talking about it from a variety of different angles, from basic health questions to the impact this is going to have on the economy. We release a new episode every afternoon, and you can listen wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Back here on the Craig Needle Show on 980 CFPL. And I want to take a small break. We are going to talk about it in this conversation. I'm going to play you a two-part chat I had with Dimitri Lascaris, who, of course, as you may remember, is a former Green Party candidate here in the City of London. And now is a Green Party candidate when it comes to the leadership of that particular organization, which, look, all these races are on pause and for good reason, but they still exist. So why does Dimitri Lascaris want to be part of that race? Well, that's asking about that. I just started by, we talked last week, to be clear. I started by thanking him for having the conversation with us.
I'm great, and it's always a pleasure to be on your show, Craig. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad to have you back in different circumstances than what we're used to, because you have announced that you're running for the leadership of the Green Party of Canada. Why are you running for it, and how did you come to this decision?
Well, I think even before we found ourselves in this extraordinary situation that we are in, we were confronting a variety of extremely challenging circumstances, including the climate crisis. And I think that I took a long time to think about getting in. I looked at the other candidates, and I wasn't convinced, even though they're all great people, and I think that it's wonderful they're in the race, I wasn't convinced that they had the vision that we need in order to, A, take the party to the next level, and B, deal with the core causes of the climate crisis. And I believe that the core causes of the climate crisis are our economic system. And until we address the inequities and fragility of our economic system, we're not going to deal effectively with the climate crisis.
Let's talk about the climate crisis first. Obviously, the Green Party is one where that's a pretty big part of the platform. It should be the pretty big part of anyone's platform, no matter which party you are at this point in our lives. What would you like to see be part of the platform if you're the leader?
Well, first of all, I think we need government to play a much bigger role in our lives. You know, the tendency over the last several decades has been to diminish the size and importance of government. I think, secondly, the government needs to start prioritizing the interests of the most vulnerable members of our society, of the working class, of in the middle class, and stop focusing on the interests of the most privileged members of our society, which I think is what the government has been doing, notwithstanding its rhetoric to the contrary. You know, and thirdly, we need to be having an honest conversation about the whole idea of growth. You know, we've got it entrenched in our minds that economic growth is always good, and the more growth, the better. But our growth model is basically founded upon a system of consuming finite resources indefinitely, and that just can't last. So we need to rethink how we measure wealth. We need to rethink how we gauge the health of an economy. And once we've done those things, I think we will be very well positioned to deal with this climate crisis, not only to resolve it, but actually make the world a much better place than it currently is.
I think we need to make the world a much better place than it currently is. And I know that the climate crisis is being taken more seriously now by people all over the political spectrum than it was even 5-6 years ago. But still, in my estimation, not seriously enough. And some of the targets that we heard being talked about during the last election, you know, let's try to get to the Paris Accord targets and things along those lines, probably not aggressive enough if we want to make a real difference, and certainly not aggressive enough if we want to make a difference in the world, not just from Canada's targets, but global targets as well.
Absolutely. You know, the Trudeau government, after criticizing the emission reduction targets of Stephen Harper's government, adopted those targets in connection with the Paris Climate Accord. And I was at COP21 in Paris. I was there in my capacity as an independent journalist for an independent news organization. And I saw firsthand how, you know, the environmental community reacted negatively to Trudeau's about face, where he suddenly embraced those climate targets. And the thing, Craig, that's astonishing is we're not even on pace to meet those climate targets. The way we're going now, we're going to miss them by a wide margin. What we need to be doing is not only respecting those climate targets, but setting and meeting substantially more aggressive climate targets. If we in the world, you know, the various climate targets that have been adopted by participants in the Paris Climate Accord were actually to be fulfilled, we would see warming well in excess of 2 degrees Celsius. And remember that the Paris Climate Accord is trying to keep it not at 2, but at 1.5. Right now, there's zero hope on the trajectory we're on that we're going to stay within 2, let alone 1.5. So, and we're already seeing very serious negative impacts around the world from the warming that has occurred to date. So we need to scale up our ambitions dramatically, and we need to actually respect our ambitions and stop simply paying lip service to them.
What about some other issues, Dimitri? Because obviously the environment is an issue. It's a pretty significant one, but there are other issues as well. What direction would you like to see the party go here? Because you said that there are lots of folks, obviously, who are in the race, but none of them have the same sort of ideas for direction for the party that you do. So where do you want to see the party go?
I think it is important, you know, for us as Greens to recognize that a lot of voters perceive us to be a one-issue party. I don't think that that's been the case, but I don't think we've done a good enough job of highlighting the other things that matter and adding things to our agenda that matter to ordinary Canadians. And so your question is a very important one. One thing I think we absolutely have to get a grip on is inequality. We have 10 people in this country who control $65 billion of wealth. And on any given night, we have tens of thousands of Canadians living in the streets. I've seen this alone in London, Ontario, where I spent most of my life. When I was a kid, I used to walk around that city and I wouldn't see hardly anybody homeless. Now, everywhere I go in downtown London, there are homeless people. We have millions of people living in poverty, a great many of whom are children. And yet we have 10 billion people, or 10 people controlling $65 billion of wealth. I think it's time for us to have a conversation about putting limits on wealth accumulation so that we don't even have billionaire status. We need to make housing a human right, a constitutional right, so that we eliminate homelessness. We need to increase sharply taxes on the wealthiest members of our society, you know, people who are making, for example, $500,000 a year. They shouldn't be paying what they're paying now. They should be paying upwards of 70% on their taxes. You know, a lot of people don't know that in Canada and the United States, and the United States is hardly a socialist country, for decades after the Second World War had a top marginal tax rate in excess of 90%. You know, and now we think of that as being extreme. Actually, that is not extreme for people who are extremely high income earners. They need to be helping the poorest members of our society to have at least a reasonable shot of fulfilling their potential. Another thing I'm very concerned about is our foreign policy and defense spending. I think we can dramatically reduce our defense spending. I think we should think seriously about whether we should be part of NATO. NATO was formed in order to counter the Soviet influence and the Soviet alliance, the Eastern Bloc. That no longer exists. What we should be thinking about is demilitarizing and, at a bare minimum, as I say, decreasing dramatically our defense expenditures. And then lastly, I think we need to universalize our approach to human rights. We have, you know, a deal according to which we are selling deadly weapons to the Saudis. Those weapons are being made right in London, Ontario. And at the same time, we're condemning other states for human rights violations, even as we arm a regime like that of the Saudis. We're supporting other disreputable and human rights abusing regimes like the dictatorship in Egypt. You know, we need to universalize human rights and ensure that all states are protecting human rights and use peaceful measures to make that happen through economic sanctions that are designed to minimize the suffering of innocent people. You know, I think we can do a lot to enhance our stature in the international community in that regard, and that'll ultimately be to the benefit of Canadians.
A lot to get into there. First, I'll ask you this. From the tax code perspective, this is something that I've been saying on the air for a little while. You tell me if you think this is true. Our tax code might be fine if we were just to close the massive, massive loopholes in it that people at the very top seem to use on a somewhat regular basis that aren't available to those who are in the middle and towards the bottom. Would you accept or reject that statement?
I would think that would be a big step forward. But I don't think that it would be enough because we still would have a situation where a handful of people are accumulating massive amounts of wealth. We would slow down the rate of accumulation. So that would be good. But we would not deal fundamentally with the problem of gross inequality of our society if that were the only step we were to take. I think we need to substantially increase on top of that, closing those loopholes, as I mentioned, the top marginal tax rate. And I don't think we should be having preferential treatment for capital gains. That favors people who have money. You know, if you're just living paycheck to paycheck, you're not able to accumulate wealth and to be able to make passive investments and then benefit from the preferential treatment for capital gains. That's only something that's really of benefit to people who have a large pool of savings. So why should they get preferential tax treatment? Why is somebody who's, you know, out there working every day to make every buck being taxed at a higher rate than somebody who simply, you know, buys stocks in the stock market and doesn't actually have to work for that money. I don't think that makes any sense at all. So I would like to see more broad-ranging reform to the tax system than simply closing loopholes. But I certainly agree with you, Craig, that that is very important.
Certainly. We'll obviously have to get into that at some point in the not-too-distant future. We'll talk about foreign policy as well, as you mentioned. Here in London, people are going to be interested to hear, obviously, about where your thoughts are on that, because we got some inconsistent views from the parties on the contract, the general dynamics. What would you do instead? Because there would be a lot of people in London that contract went away would lose their jobs.
Yeah, and I think we should be supporting those workers 100%. I don't think a single person should lose their job in London, Ontario, because of the annihilation, the cancellation of that contract. What we should be doing is making investments locally for developing the infrastructure necessary for a transition to a renewable energy economy. So, for example, the building of wind turbines, the building of solar energy panels. You know, the investment in those types of industries generate, more good-paying jobs than the fossil fuels industry does. The statistics are very clear upon that. And we need, as a government, to invest in those industries so that people like the workers of General Dynamics can find those jobs readily available to them in their own communities when we switch away from these business deals that fundamentally cannot be reconciled with our values of, as Canadians or with human rights. So I would not want to see a single person lose a job. I would not want to see a single person take a pay cut in London, Ontario, because we canceled that contract. And if I were in charge, that would not happen. They would have those jobs. They would have even better jobs available to them.
Also want to ask you about the Green Party status, which right now it's a 3-seat party. How would you grow that number? What would your plan to be to make the party more electorally viable from coast to coast as opposed to specific regions?
I think these very policies I've been talking about, amongst others, would greatly enhance the appeal of the Green Party of Canada. You know, when you talk to people and you look at polling data, so I'll give you one simple example, Craig. In the United States last year, somebody who recently entered Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whose politics are very similar to my own, proposed, as I'm proposing, an increase in the top marginal tax rate to 70%. They did a poll, and they found that 56% of Americans supported enthusiastically that policy, and only something in the range of 35% opposed it, and the rest were undecided. These types of policies that I'm talking about that are addressing the needs of the poor and the working poor and the middle class, and are diminishing the privileges of the wealthy, and that are ensuring that workers are not left behind in the transition to a renewable energy economy. These are wildly popular. If you look at the polling data, there's a broad-based support for them. And we as a party, if we start talking about workers and the dilemma that they face and giving them concrete solutions to not only maintaining their status of living, their standard of living, but enhancing it, I think we're going to appeal to a far broader constituency than just the environmental movement. So that to me is the number one way that we can grow our presence in Parliament. You know, I think a lot of people, they say that the NDP is a left-leaning party. I think that stopped being true years ago. The NDP has become a centrist party and has largely abandoned Canadians, the millions of Canadians who lean to the left on the political spectrum, who are very progressive in their thinking, and they need a voice in Parliament. They want a champion. And we can be that for them.
That's my conversation with Dimitri Lascaris, which I'm going to continue on the side of the break, because, look, I know that some people are saying, hey, this is not where we're used to the Green Party being on the political spectrum, certainly not Elizabeth May. Well, I'm going to talk about that with Dimitri after the break. You're listening to The Craig Needle Show here on 980 CFPL. Continuing our conversation with Dimitri Lascaris, who, of course, is a candidate for the Green Party leadership from right here in London. And I said to him, hey, look, this is something that some of these policies, which I have we've got some emails already, some people don't like, which, okay, cool, don't vote for somebody, that's cool. And this is not the Green Party that most of us are used to as far as where they'd be on the political spectrum. Look, I think, hey, we shouldn't have billionaires doesn't sound at all like something Elizabeth May would say. Now, I personally don't care whether we have billionaires. I just think that there should be, you know, a situation where you have to pay your taxes if you're one of them. Seems obvious. Anyway, I asked Dimitri Lascaris about moving the Green Party as far as where they're located on the Canadian political spectrum, and here's what he said.
Yes, it is, and I'm not shy about saying that. I think Elizabeth May did a great job as our leader. But I think that the party needs to fill that political vacuum that exists on the left, because that's what it is. You know, when people talk about the NDP as being a left-wing party, it actually isn't anymore. The base of the NDP is left-wing. The leadership is not. And that's true of the Liberal Party, too. There is a left-wing within the Liberal Party. For example, a lot of people who support the Liberal Party are really deeply concerned about the climate crisis. And Justin Trudeau is not addressing their profound and justified concerns. I think we can attract people not only from the NDP. I think we can attract people from the Liberal Party. And even more so, we have millions of Canadians who do not vote at all in elections because they think that the electoral system has abandoned them. You know, we have somewhere in the range of 30 to 40% of Canadians who don't even vote. That's in the range of 8 million eligible voters. That's a massive untapped pool of support. And if those people think that there's a party that speaks to them and that it really cares about them, I believe they'll come out and vote. So, yeah, I'm not shy about saying that I want to move the party to the left, but I think that's exactly what we need to grow the party.
Now, the NDP, I know that folks would say, or they would say, well, the Green Party is the conservatives, only they care more about the environment. Is that your assessment of the Green Party as currently? That's obviously not what you want it to be, but is that your assessment of the Green Party currently, or do you think that that's off?
Well, I do think that the Green Party, I think the Green Party is entirely justified in being, in prioritizing the climate crisis. Where I think we could do better is in conveying to people that we have a lot more to offer than that. We have offered more than that, but we could do a much better job of that, and we could be much more assertive in defending the rights of, you know, ordinary Canadians and the most vulnerable members of our society. And as I say, if I think we do that effectively, we're going to grow this party very rapidly.
We will leave it there, Dimitri, just because I don't have a whole lot of time left. But thank you very much for the wide-ranging chat. We certainly appreciate it. Quickly, before we go, your thoughts on what has happened with COVID-19. How would things be different if you had a voice in Ottawa when we're talking about these types of frightening issues that we're in the midst of?
My view about this, I actually have confidence in our medical system to minimize the direct consequences of the virus to Canadians. I think we have to listen to our medical community. We have to give the medical community all the support that it's asking for. If we do that, I'm confident that we're going to be able to minimize the health consequences. What I'm really worried about, I think is going to potentially be far more damaging to this country, is the economic downturn globally, and particularly the one that's going to happen south of the border, because I don't think the American healthcare system is up to this task. I don't trust Donald Trump to deal with it effectively. I think he's going to be doling out money to his corporate friends and not taking care of the people who actually need to be cared for. And so I think this could have very dramatic consequences for Canada's economy. And if I were in charge, I would be putting in place far more robust measures to protect Canadians who are at risk of losing their jobs or losing income. I think today was a step in the right direction with the measures that were announced by the Trudeau government, but they're still far too modest. I think we need to have, for example, a guaranteed basic income in this country so that nobody can fall into poverty, even in a crisis situation like this. And we're a far way off from that. So that's something that I would champion if I were to be in charge.
That's my conversation with Dimitri Lascaris, talking about COVID-19 there, just in the wake of the mess of a situation that we're in right now. That's a conversation I recorded with him last week. Taking a quick pause here. What's going on in Africa, which often is underreported, as far as what's going on that continent? We're going to talk about the comparisons between the different nations within Africa on the other side of a news update. So stick around for just a little bit. You're tuned to the Craig Needle Show, London's only live and local morning talk show. This is 980 CFPL.